Good morning. Welcome to the California Chapter Library Users of America meeting at the Spring Convention of the California Council of the Blind. It is at the annual convention, thank you. And here we are at the Arden Hilton in Sacramento. So, Arden West. Okay, so what do I know? So we're going to go around and find out who's in the room with us. So Nessa, I'll start. I'm Judy Wilkinson, the president of CLUA.
Okay, Steve Fort, now former president of Braille Revival League of California. Get rid of him finally.
Marlene O'Neill, BRLC recording secretary.
Mary Jane Kays from the Braille and Talking Book Library.
She's our guest.
Yes.
Peter Pardini.
Who needs no introduction?
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Juan. I'm here from Sacramento.
Hi, I'm Mike Keithley from Mountain View from the Silicon Valley chapter.
Ma'am. Christy Crespin, Highland, California, from the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter.
Great to have you with us, Christy. Great to have everybody.
Betty Henderson Sparks, newly joined the Capital Chapter this morning.
This is Josie Conklin from the Capital Chapter here in Sacramento.
Diane Phelps from Solano County.
Patty Nash, Bayview Chapter.
My name is Cam Schur. I'm a member at large. I live on the Monterey Peninsula.
David Jackson from the San Francisco chapter.
Lena Dawes, incoming president, BRLC.
Linda Perel, San Francisco chapter.
Pam Metz, Greater LA president.
And board member of board library user.
At home.
Rob Turner, president, Silicon Valley.
That was all.
Thank you very much. We have three of our members personing our tables in the exhibit hall. Steve Mendelson is at, we accidentally sort of have two tables. Stephen Mendelson is at one, and Andrea Pitzenbarger and Susan Glass are at the other. And I thought Bonnie Rennie would be here because one of them, she was at the table as well. Let me tell you a little bit about our exhibit tables. We have a lot of crafts. We have a lot of craft, and we have some candy. We have liquor truffles. We have actually Kahlua truffles and Bailey's truffles. Those are $4 for $3. We have Lindt truffles, and you can either get dark chocolate, extra dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, or peanut butter. Those are $8 for $4. And then we have this fabulous kind of candy that Susan Glass turned us on to called Meltaways. And we have those are $4 a bag, and those come in dark mint, light mint, raspberry mint, coconut mint, and those are the four flavors. So do come by, and we have all kinds of Linda Amate's fabulous hats, a lot of my hats and scarves, dishcloths galore that I have made and that Lori Kastner's made, and then just hot delivered from Keith Johnson a minute ago, a couple of scarves and things from Gloria Broderick, who sends her regrets. She is not able to attend this meeting and lets us know that she's thinking about us all. And so please come by the booth. Send your friends. The dishcloths are 2 for $7, and we have all kinds of other stuff. The hats are about $8 a piece. Some really nice, nice stuff. And I don't want to take my big suitcase of all of that home, although if I have to, I will, and we'll just come back next year and sell it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of business to get through this morning. And a lot of it, you know, there's no way I can make reading the Constitution exciting. I thought I might sing and dance, and I'll do my very best, but we do need to read it for the record. But we're going to begin by reading the temporary minutes from the draft minutes from October 18th of our meeting in 2013. I thought about putting it out on the list. I think I did put it out a while back, but I'm going to read them for the record because a lot of people listen to these, you know, that aren't our members, and I would love to, you know, let the world know that we're here. I do think we should have 150 members. After all, everybody reads books. Anyway, the meeting of the California Library Users of America was called to order at 10:45 at the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel. I'm reading with one hand, by President Judy Wilkinson. A new paragraph. The members approved the minutes from the spring meeting held in conjunction with the California Council of the Blind Convention. Treasurer's report. Treasurer Peter Pardini reported that our treasury amounted to $1,013.09. That was before I think we paid our 2013 dues to the National. Elections. Treasurer Peter Pardini, after years of service, is replaced by Gloria Broderick of Pasadena. Gloria will establish a new account near her home. Constitution update. Because we are shifting from 2 conventions a year to 1 a year, our Constitution will be updated at the spring 2014 meeting. Until the Constitution is adopted, officers whose terms would have ended in fall 2014 will serve until spring 2015. Rob Turner updated us on Bookshare activities. Guest presenter, children's author Laura Marlowe read one of her children's books for us. A delightful discussion followed. The meeting was adjourned at noon. Respectfully submitted, Judy Wilkinson. President, California Library Users of America. I'm looking for a motion to adopt these minutes so that they don't to adopt these minutes. Steve Ford moved. I need a second. Pam seconded. Is that right? I think I heard your voice first, Pam. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt the minutes. All in favor? Opposed? Abstain? Thank you very much. We have 48 members. We had 46 when we sent in our roster on February 15th, and boy, I thank everybody who helped me get addresses and, you know, get all that final information. It's now much harder. You know, it's good because we need everybody's accurate information, but I'm telling you, we had to scramble for some of it. And for those of you who helped me with that, and we've had 2 new members since then, and so we now are at 48, and I'm going to do, Gloria and I are going to do a much better job this year of not only getting out the dues announcements, but I'm still bound and determined to get everybody a receipt. It's not going to do you any good for you this tax year, although, of course, you can always deduct your memberships. But I want you to have your receipts, and I want to establish that to get a system in place, because we all need to have stuff like that for our records. You notice that Peter is back in the room as a member, but he's also here today representing our treasurer, Gloria. I cannot tell you how helpful Peter has been in these last few months. Gloria is struggling to get the transition completed so that we have an account in Southern California. she knows that she's working hard to get that completed. We need to make sure that gets done. But in the meantime, Peter has been writing checks for us. He's been managing the bank account, and he's here today to give us as much of a treasurer's report as he can, having only been notified on Monday that he was going to be asked to do this. So I'm going to hand Peter the mic. Thank you so much, Peter, for all your help. Oh, a mic stand would be great.
Judy, can you move on to one other? I need to make a correction to the treasurer's report. Can you move on to something else for a second?
Something else. We'll move on to something else for a second. I'm flexible. The fund, the Constitution's going to take a while, so I do want to get back to the Constitution, before, I don't want to do that before before Peter gives his report. I want to tell you that the committee to update the Constitution, the fundraising committee, chaired by Susan Glass, our vice president, members Andrea Pitzenbarger and board member Connie Bateman have had a couple of meetings, and they have some ideas for some fundraising things that they will get back to us with. They know that we want to have some item that's especially related to Kahlua. Thanks to Susan, we have these dandy melt-aways here to sell at this convention. They're a very big fundraiser at... they're very big. Our newest member, Diane Harms, could definitely attest to that because it's her home chapter, Silicon Valley, and of course Rob and Alice. They sell these too. We felt that since they weren't selling them at the convention, we wouldn't be stepping on their toes to sell them here. So do come by the booth and get some. But the Constitution Committee, I keep saying Constitution because that's what's up next. The Fundraising Committee is doing its job. And I'm going to be pointing another committee shortly after we adopt this Constitution. One of the things that I have my heart set on is that we set up some kind of voting procedure so that we all aren't voting at a convention because so many of our members can't get here. But it is very tricky to set that up so that people can have some privacy in their voting and so that people feel that they've got a way to have their vote counted. And frankly, we couldn't come up with a mechanism in time for the Constitution. But I am going to appoint a committee shortly after we pass this Constitution to get back to us by the fall to report on the Constitution. I mean, to report on the, what was I talking about? Voting. Thank you. Glad somebody's paying attention. That was a test, to see if you're all still with me. Peter, do you still need some time? I've stalled long enough that our stalwart acting treasurer can give his report. So here comes the mic over to you.
Thank you, Judy. California Chapter, Library Users of America, Treasurer's Report. For the period October 18, 2013 to April 11, 2014. Beginning balance, $1,015.09. Collected membership dues in the amount of $580. That gives us total deposits. A balance of $1,595.09. During this period, we had the following disbursements. We wrote a check to the CCB in the amount of $50 for the affiliate chapter dues. Then we had a check for $40 for our CCB exhibitor table. And we wrote one check for the Library Users of America for our 26 members for the 2013 dues, and that's in the amount of $312. So we had total disbursements of $402, leaving an ending account balance $1,193.09.
Thank you so much, Peter. We need to really pat ourselves on the back. We have a, for the first time, I mean, you know, last year in October was the first time we had ever had over $1,000 in our treasury. And that doesn't, you know, it's not a lot of money, but it's certainly more than we had when I started 3 years ago. And I'm hoping with our fair and with our, we still will need to disperse 48 members, 48 times 12. That's going to, we're going to have to spend over, you know, almost half of that now to pay our 2014 dues to the National to Library Users of America. So, you know, it's still, we can't operate just on our dues. So go buy that candy and buy those dishcloths. Peter already spent his Christmas money at the table this morning. So go thou all and do likewise. I'm glad I'm glad to hear that. I want to have some more of you. Those dishcloths are really great. I knitted them. Yeah, they're just small ones. You know what to wipe up your counters, that kind of stuff. I call them Kahlua kitchen cloths. Yep, there's we've got peach and white, yellow, blue and white, white. That's, I mean, it's mainly stuff that I, you know, cotton, good quality cotton that I've had on hand. I've about used it up. You know, so, but I still have a huge stash that I knit beautiful. Try on those fingerless gloves that are great for canes and dogs. I only have one pair with me, so you put in an order with whoever's at the table, and I'll knit you a pair. In fact, I'm telling people, I'll knit a pair for 10, but I'll send you 3 gloves for 15. Because you always want an extra, because you know damn well you're going to lose one. And then where will you be? Okay, I'm afraid there's nothing for it. Is anybody got a question or something before we go on? Because I am going to go into the Constitution. The washcloths are $4 each, 2 for $7. What a bargain. The yarn itself is, you know, I can get 3 out of a ball of yarn, and the ball of yarn, if I'd paid full price, would have been $4. So there you go. Oh, thank you, Pam. Would you move that? Pam moves, and Steve seconds to approve the treasurer's report. Sorry, you guys. Thank you so much for keeping me honest. All those in any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So moved. Thank you. Thank you so much, Peter. Okay. Now, I am going to... I don't think we're going to... I'm going to stop after every article to ask you of questions, but then we'll vote on the whole Constitution. And by the current standard, there is no sort of... We have technically a quorum, and so a majority of the people in the room and voting can pass this new Constitution. It won't be that way. We'll need at least 11 or 12. We need a quarter of our quorum after we have the new Constitution to pass, to hold a meeting. I'm getting worried. So I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to pause at the end of every article and ask for questions. Is somebody trying to get my attention? Excuse me? I did send it as an email. I did send it as an email. You probably have 3, you know, I've sent you a couple of drafts because, of course, we've changed it as time has gone on. But the latest draft that I sent out, thank you, Josie, for mentioning it, was on April 1st. Okay. Yes, and if you do have a question, please raise your hand so that Nessa can see you. Okay. Constitution of the California Chapter, Library Users of America. Article 1, name and affiliation. This organization is named and shall be known as the California Chapter, Library Users of America, Kahlua, a statewide affiliate of the California Council of the Blind and a chapter of the Library Users of America, which is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. CLUA is a self-governing membership organization. Any questions about Article 1? Well, it's technically CLUA. We used to be CALUA, but I like CALUA, but no, our official abbreviation is CLUA. And it really should be, it should be CCLUA because it's California Chapter Library Users. But whatever. Article 2, purposes. The purposes of CLUA are A, to support the effectiveness, accessibility, and expansion of sources of written material in specialized formats designed for use by persons who are blind or who have visual impairments. B, to enhance through advocacy, technical assistance, consumer choice, cooperative efforts with other groups and all other appropriate means to support, that is, the availability of all published materials in formats that are accessible to readers who are blind or who have visual impairments. C, to support literacy and a love of books and reading among persons who are blind or visually impaired throughout the life cycle, and to promote the existence of all resources that make reading accessible, affordable, and available. D, to endorse the development of assistive and accessible technology that facilitates reading by persons who are blind or who have visual impairments. That is the end of Article 2. Any questions about Article 2? We've greatly expanded this article because we felt we really did have, you know, a broader purpose. Article 3, membership. A, membership in CLUA shall be open to any person over the age of 16 who supports the purposes outlined above or who utilizes accessible or specialized formats for reading. All members shall automatically also become members of the CCB and of Library Users of America. B, membership dues shall be payable on an annual basis, due for each calendar year by January 1st, and deemed delinquent if not received by February 15th. The dues amount shall be determined by the Board of Directors, effective for the following calendar year. Any questions about Article 3? Article 4, you guys are being so good, thank you so much. Article 4 is long. Officers. A, the officers of CLUA shall be a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. These four officers, together with the immediate past president and two at-large directors, shall constitute the board of directors. B, the officers and directors shall serve two-year terms, with the president and secretary to be elected as specified in Article 5 in each odd-numbered year, and with the vice president and treasurer to be elected in the even-numbered years, director number one to be elected in each odd-numbered year, and director number two to be elected in each even-numbered year. C, no officer or director shall serve more than three consecutive terms, except that when an officer or director fills a vacancy during a term, such an expired term shall not count toward the three-term limit. D, a majority of the board of directors, including the president and vice president, shall be persons who are blind or visually impaired and who use accessible or specialized reading formats. E, collectively, the duties of the officers and board shall be consistent with those ordinarily expected of such officials and entities and shall include but not be limited to 1. governing the organization between meetings of the membership. 2, ensuring that the organization complies with all legal requirements applicable to its existence and operation. 3, acting in a manner that is consistent with and faithful to all instructions given by the membership through resolutions or other policy directives. 4, scheduling and facilitating meetings of the membership as specified in Article 5, Section B. Now, I'm going to go on to the individual officers, so I thought I would stop at this point and ask if there are any questions about the general guidelines about the officers that we've presented so far. Okay, I'm going to move on. Nobody's got their hand? Okay. F. The president shall, 1, preside at in-person and conference call meetings of the organization and the board. 2, appoint committees. 3, oversee implementation of decisions of the membership and of the board. And 4, perform other normal duties incidental to the office. G, the vice president shall, 1, preside at meetings in the absence of the president. 2, assume the presidency for the remainder of the current term in case the office of president becomes vacant. Susan tells me I'm not allowed to resign. 3, perform such other duties as the membership, board, or president shall direct. H, the secretary shall, 1, keep and distribute minutes of all regular and special meetings. 2, carry out such other duties as may be authorized by the board. I, the treasurer shall, 1, be the custodian of all funds of the organization, maintaining such funds in suitable accounts as agreed by the board. I have as agree. It's a little typo there. 2, have authority to collect and disperse funds. 3, be authorized to sign checks on behalf of the organization. 4, keep records of all receipts and disbursements, payables, and receivables connected with the organization's work. 5, prepare periodic reports, at least annually and otherwise as necessary, detailing all financial information pertinent to the organization. 6, maintain accounting record in a form and manner that will allow for periodic audit of the organization's books. J, an officer or director may be removed from office on the vote of 5 members of the board of directors, provided that the challenged officer or director, while not allowed to vote on the motion, is allowed to fully participate in the deliberations. Such hearing and vote shall be conducted in executive session if requested by the challenged officer or director. In other words, if we're going to challenge a director, that meeting would be open unless the officer requested an executive session. We don't want any business conducted behind doors in this organization unless somebody officially requests it. That is the end of Article 4. Are there any questions about this article? Unfortunately, we put in this last section, as you all know, guide dog users had so much challenging and problems last year that we felt we needed to protect ourselves. Article 5, meetings, voting, and elections. A, ultimate authority over the organization rests with the membership and is exercised through elections, resolutions, votes, and other actions of record taken at general meetings of the membership. Yes. Sure. Who asked me to do that? hello, Maureen.
Hi.
A, ultimate authority over the organization rests with the membership and is exercised through elections, resolutions, votes, and other actions of record taken at general meetings of the membership. B, two general membership meetings shall be held each year, including 1, one in conjunction with the CCB annual conference and convention, at which meeting elections of officers and board members shall be taken, shall take place. And 2, one held by conference call, telephone, approximately 6 months after the date of the annual conference and convention, its date to be determined by the president and announced to the membership through appropriate group and individual communication at least 2 months in advance of the meeting date. Is that clear? 3, for purposes of conducting business, a quorum shall consist of 25% of the membership. C, in addition to the two regular general membership meetings per year, the board of directors shall hold two meetings, approximately midway between regular meetings. 4 members will constitute a quorum for such meetings, and all members may attend except when executive session is required, with a member comment period reserved prior to conclusion of the meeting. Members of the organization shall be informed of the scheduling of board meetings at least 1 month in advance, except for unanticipated special or emergency meetings. D, in addition to regular board meetings, any 4 members of the board or a majority of all CLUA members in good standing may request, upon 14 days' notice to the membership, a special board meeting to address issues of an urgent nature. That is the end of Article 5. That's a little steep, I know. Did you have a question, Peter?
No.
Okay. And, of course, we've provided there that, you know, we can call members board meetings, and we can also call special membership meetings, too.
Judy, could you repeat the last sentence, please?
I can do that. That's Patty Nash, one of our new members this year. In addition to regular board meetings, any 4 members of the board or a majority of all CLUA members in good standing may request upon 14 days' notice to the membership a special board meeting to address issues of an urgent nature. Article 6, amending the Constitution. This is the last article. A, this Constitution may be amended by a vote of 2/3 of the members present and voting. So if we had a quorum of 11, 2/3 of those could vote something through. I mean, could change the Constitution. So I'm going to read that sentence again. A, this Constitution may be amended by a vote of 2/3 of the members present and voting. All proposed amendments shall be submitted and distributed to the membership at least 14 days prior to the date scheduled for voting. Amendments may be submitted to the membership upon the request of 3 members of the board of directors. In other words, if you really want to change the Constitution, you're going to have to ask a board member. We didn't find an easy way to have the whole membership change the Constitution. But if the membership, you go to a board member, the board member says, okay, we'll put this forward. We just felt that there was too much that the membership just couldn't easily do that was much more of a feasible to get the board to a smaller group to manage some of this stuff. B, in the event that any amendment proposes the dissolution of the organization or its amalgamation with another organization, such amendment shall be acted upon in the same manner as any other amendment, except that One, such amendment shall provide for the payment from available funds of all debts and obligations of the organization. Two, such amendment shall provide for the distribution of any remaining funds to the CCB, or in the event CCB shall no longer exist, to an organization or entity that has similar worthy purposes. And three, such amendment shall require the vote of 3/4 of the total membership in order to be adopted. In other words, if we say bye-bye, 3/4 of us have to agree to do it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Constitution as proposed. Yes, Peter.
So there's no bylaws with the Constitution?
No bylaws. At this time. One, we'll go to Constitution, then we'll think about bylaws. No bylaws. Ladies and gentlemen, I need a motion to accept the Constitution. Albert Contreras moved to accept the Constitution. I heard 2 seconds. I didn't hear. Who was that back there? Diane. Diane seconds. Diane Harms, right? Seconded. Any further discussion? Yes, Tuan. She's getting you the mic.
Yes, I had some concern about the Article 1 when you say the chapter. I believe the chapter is more local. We need to think about statewide state affiliates.
I'm sorry, Tuan, I don't understand your concern.
Because the chapter, you said, can you read me Article 1, please?
The name?
Yeah, the whole clause.
Name and affiliation. This organization is named and shall be known as the California Chapter, Library Users of America, a statewide affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, and a chapter of the Library Users of America, which is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. Kahlua is a self.
Oh, I feel that like repetitious, even though they use synonyms like chapter and statewide affiliate. I don't know, is that going to be causing any confusion or technical?
I know what you're saying. Your concern is the use of the word affiliate and chapter. But we've talked about this a lot in other affiliates. We are technically statewide affiliates of the, but we are a chapter as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. As long as it didn't cause any hurdles or confusion, you know.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Tuan. Any further discussion? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, all in favor of adopting this Constitution, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passed unanimously. Thank you so much. And while I'm still on the subject of the Constitution, I need to thank my committee members, Chair Stephen Mendelson, hardworking other members Steve Fort and Gloria Broderick, and at the meeting where the membership discussed this issue on March 23rd, we had invaluable assistance, especially from Jeff Tom and Frank Welty, and I really want to thank them for assisting us with this Constitution. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new Constitution. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Hello. A number of people have come into the room. So if you weren't here at the beginning when we went around and said who we were, could I ask you to raise your hands now? And I'm blanking on our... Nessa will come down and tap you on the shoulder and hold the mic for you.
So this is Maria Mitchell, who sneaked in, as you mentioned.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm Diane Harms.
Say where you're from. Maria Mitchell's from Fremont, right? I don't even talk to you. You just must have gotten back from your cruise, right? Oops.
The deathly ill one, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, and Diane is from Silicon Valley. So say where you're from when you say next.
Keith Johnson, Pasadena, California. Now new treasurer of BRLC.
I know Albert has come in too. Are we still going around?
Okay, this is Teddy Joy Remhild.
Oh, Teddy Joy.
Actually, I'm a potential new member.
Wonderful. We like to hear that.
Yeah, okay.
Jane Cardis.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
Jane is from Ukiah.
I heard about the meatloaf, so I had to come.
You heard about the meatloaf.
Bonnie Rennie from Orange County, Santa Ana, California.
Thank you. Just a second, people. I want attention. Who else?
Albert Contreras from Temple City, California.
One of our longtime members.
This is Connie Bateman. I'm a board member, and we're going on the Princess. Crown Prince is this Saturday, but they're leaving 5 hours late because of the health issue.
Wow.
Ron Bateman, Sacramento, California.
You guys have a great time. I don't feel a bit sorry for you. Thank you so much. Okay, it's high time that we move on to our next item. It gives me great pleasure. I'm going to introduce our guest. As you know, in the Sacramento Talking Book librarian, Mike Marlin, often comes to speak with us. Mike has taken on added duties, and maybe Mary Jane tell us a little more about this. Yeah. So his colleague, Mary Jane, is it Kays or Kays, has really graciously agreed to be with us today. And she is Michael's colleague at the Talking Book Library here in Sacramento. So would you all please give a warm welcome to Mary Jane Kays. Can I pass you this mic, Mary
Jane? All right. Can you hear me okay? I am struggling with laryngitis, and we hope we get all the way through before the voice is gone. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, I did want to thank you for inviting me. And I am going to attempt to give you snapshots of things that are affecting the California Braille and Talking Book Library and its community of patrons right now. If there is time at the end, I will try to answer your questions. I realize that at least some of you may be from Southern California, and are served by our counterpart there, the Braille Institute. Much of what I have to say will be true for them as well, or at least similar. We also in Northern California have two sub-regionals, one based in Fresno, one in San Francisco. They help us by serving 5 of the 48 Northern California counties in our region. We're really spread out. I'm sure that you know most of this alphabet soup, but I thought I better give you a list just in case. It's kind of like Kahlua. So I tend to rumble through and say BTBL or BTBL. BTBL stands for Braille and Talking Book Library. CSL is the California State Library. NLS is the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, which is a branch of the Library of Congress known fondly as LOC. BARD stands for Braille and Audio Reading Download, and ALA is the American Library Association. There are others in my talk. I'll try to explain them as I go. I am attempting today to be a stand-in for our director, Mike Marlin, who had to be in Chicago this week. You may know that he has been for some time an American Library Association counselor at large, working on some accessibility issues, among other things. I am going to read to you the notes that Mike sent me as almost a quote, I've had to paraphrase, to explain what he's doing right now. This is long. It's not longer than your constitution, but almost. Okay. I'm in Chicago for orientation and meetings for a 5-month term on the American Library Association Executive Board. That's a biggie. That's huge. Anyway, topics include all manner of National Library issues, including privacy protection, intellectual freedom cases, and ALA budget and strategic priorities. A particularly hot topic is a diversity initiative aimed at the ALA 2016 conference in Orlando, Florida, about which some African American and Hispanic members of ALA are apprehensive because of the need to be visiting Florida with its recent history surrounding the Stand Your Ground laws. Mike is also serving on the Library's Serving Persons with Print Disabilities section of IFLA. There's another acronym. That stands for International Federation of Library Associations. So ALA belongs to IFLA. He is representing ALA on that section, the Library Serving Persons with Print Disabilities. Current discussions there center around the Marrakesh Treaty of 2013 that allows for cross-border sharing of accessible electronic alternate format materials for nations with copyright exception laws. If you feel strongly about this treaty, contact your senators, because the Senate needs to ratify the treaty within the next several years. There is a framework for trusted intermediaries to create record and file sharing in preparation for rollout of the treaty once it is ratified, and NLS is the U.S. trusted intermediary. I don't think anybody quite realizes the vast number of resources we could draw on in just English alone, let alone foreign language, if we could pull from Canada, Australia, England, and all those other good places. So that's what the treaty is about. Mike will be co-presenting with National Library Service representatives at the 2014 IFLA, that's the International Federation Congress, in Lyon, France, in August. And this will be regarding accessible e-content and accessibility training for public libraries and librarians in the United States. So that's why he isn't here today. So, now for my talk. In addition to serving you, its patrons, BTBL serves two more masters, the state of California via the California State Library and the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. I'm going to speak first about things that are related to NLS and BTBL, then about things that are state library and BTBL, and finally about just BTBL, but nothing's ever that neat and tidy, so there'll be some overlap. NLS events over the past year or so, and not necessarily in the order of their importance, although I think this is a big one, is that there is a re-emphasis on Braille literacy. And we heard from Karen Kenninger when she was shortly after she was appointed in February 2012 as the new director of NLS. She uses Braille herself and really wants to push this along. So she and Perkins in Massachusetts had a Braille summit. That was last June 2013. There have been more developments, but we are going to have to wait until May at our conference in Oklahoma City to hear what those are. She is really wanting to explore the possibilities of a less expensive, refreshable Braille device so that Braille readers can make use of the downloadable Braille we have and not have to depend on the bulky embossed volumes. I'm going to put this, it's sort of her words and sort of mine. She envisions it being made available just like we do digital audiobook players today. Then I wrote in capital letters, and I need to shout it, but I can't. But it is still just a vision. But she, if anybody can get it done, I think she can. That's a personal opinion. Okay. The next category is audio magazines on cartridge. We are finally able to bring you digital magazines on cartridge by mail in spring of 2013. And then we brought the audio version of Talking Book Topics into that program in the fall. Bard users, of course, have been able to download magazines for much longer than that. Mike asked me to ask you how the, here's another acronym, the MOX, magazines on cartridge, are working for you. But let's try to remember to discuss them at the end. Talking Book Topics has ended the phase in which we were trying to catch up the backlog of books by putting in more books with almost no annotation. We now have full annotations back, and they are arranging the books into smaller, more focused subject groups. NLS decided to drop the index and also stop putting the text-only version of TBT online. I don't know if that's a non-negotiable or not, if we can get that back. We have asked them to reconsider the organization of the TBT order forms, and they are very confusing for some people. They've put them in the order of the short sections, and there's no way to find a number easily. I don't know how many of you here get into ordering that way, but it's been a big one for some of our users. Let's see. Yeah. And those, because Talking Book Topics got added to the magazines, and people who were getting the audio Talking Book Topics, who were only getting that as a magazine, suddenly were confronted with that. We've had to do a lot of over-the-phone discussion of the bookshelf feature on the digital Talking Book player. So if anybody... It's just the outside. It's just so loud in the door open. When anybody is confused by the bookshelf feature, if they're in this room and not getting all of their magazines because they can't operate it properly, please let me know. I brought a player. I can try and do a demo for you. Okay. National Library Service told us the other day that they are continuing to convert the tape RC books to downloadable DBs as fast as they can, but that there are still about 24,000 book titles to be converted. They have been making every effort to fill in series gaps and to do old classics. Eventually, they will get down to books that are clearly not worth converting. For example, computer manuals for obsolete software, or a 20-year-old book on how to treat your diabetes. Then they will stop, and those will go the way of the dinosaur that they should go. So we can't say that everything will be converted, but we can say that most of what is worthy of it, and also in okay condition, will be done eventually. Of the older books that have been converted to digital, we do not automatically receive copies to send out by mail. We don't get a shipment. But if someone can't access BARD, there is a new development. We are now allowed to order a single copy of a digital version of that for them under a kind of quota system. So if you see something that looks like we don't have it and it says downloadable only, don't despair. Call your reader advisor and we'll see if we can't get it for you. If you need it tomorrow, that might not work, but you know, we'll be able to. We are not ready to do download on demand yet ourselves, but at least this is a way to get you some. Okay. NLS has increased the quantity of commercially produced audiobooks that it will distribute both by mail and through BARD. This is over and above their regular 2,000 titles per year. This is huge. This just increases things majorly. And they got it by negotiating with various publishers, and they're still in negotiation with others. The one from the big five of book publishing that we have right now is Hachette Book Group. They own Time Warner Book Group. So this is a lot of different things. I need to give you a little bit of an idea. When the old system is in place for the 2,000 titles a year that we were limited to, they would read book reviews, they would pick the books to order, they would order the print copies would come in, someone would write an annotation, assign it to a contracted recording studio, studio would record it, it would go back and forth for quality assurance according to NLS guidelines, which are very strict for your reading pleasure, and which can take several months after the book is published. The new system, that's still in place. That still happens with 2,000 books. But by taking the commercial publisher's books, we are sometimes getting the audio book before the book in print has even hit the shelf. That means that there are some downsides. And they still have some work to do when they do get the audio files. They still have to mark the book up for navigation and add other NLS touches.
But then they then the other one that people don't think about is why, when they say, why does it take so long, is we get sent thousands of copies. Somebody has to make those copies, put them in boxes, put labels on boxes, put Braille labels on them, get them shipped, sorted, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that takes a while, too. But once the book is there, you're getting the same book that you would buy from the bookstore or from an online source. And then the downsides of that are that those of you who are used to a particular narrator for a favorite series may have to get used to a different voice. Sometimes the publisher chooses group narration, which NLS has always sort of discouraged. Sometimes music has been added. NLS has agreed to accept these in return for more books faster. And there is one big caveat. Since they're not provided with paper copy of books, there is no way for them to go through and look for what I call the do nots. I call them the do nots because on our application form it's do not send me any. And it's books with sex, violence, or strong language. That's when we're selecting for you. And we mean any. If it's got a word, we're supposed to, you know, put that down. So I opt for people not checking the do nots, but some people do. So if we now have books coming in that we can't do this for, we have to add the heading unrated. If we're selecting books for you by category and you prohibit any of the current three on your account, you may wish to add the unrated to your do nots. You may miss out on some books that would not have any do nots if you do that. You just don't know that you will be. I looked today. There are currently 84 in our catalog as unrated. They range all the way from the heading of spicy romance to books by James Patterson to the one about that's called I Am Malala, about the girl in Afghanistan who was killed, or not killed, but shot, and then came back. So they're all over the map. And I always say, take the book. If you get into it and you don't like it, send it back to us. Call your reader advisor and say, I no longer want this author. It's a much easier way so you don't miss something really good. Or maybe you'll find out you like spicy romance. I don't know. So anyway, next thing. NLS is in the first phase of a small pilot project, but we expect it to pick up in size soon. Books which have been produced by regional libraries, regional like us, are being put into BARD, finally. Quality control standards have been somewhat relaxed for these books, and you will be able to distinguish them by their numbers, which are DBCs. I have heard estimates that locally produced books account for about another 2,000 titles per year. In the tape cassette days, we could borrow freely from other libraries because it was easy and cheap to make copies. It is harder to set up places where one library may download from another, and cartridges are expensive, so we are glad BARD is going to begin to accommodate some of these. There are many hoops to jump through to make a local book work on NLS equipment, and quality will vary from one producer to another. So it's buyer beware, but we are excited anyway. Next, NLS successfully launched the BARD mobile app for iOS last fall. Judy told me you all know all about it, so I don't have to tell you anything else. No. They're even getting some upgrades ready for it. The sad news is that the Android version is not nearly as far along, and I cannot do the techno speak to explain why. I've heard it three times, and I just have to say, I'll take your word for it. But anyway, I know that NLS is very frustrated. The slow pace is really hard on them, and that isn't helped by government shutdowns and snow days like they've had. So while we're talking about the mobile app, though, this message, since there are users in here, pay close attention. This is for you folks who load your iOS device with several books for a long flight or a destination away from internet access, or for those who download lots of books at one time. One step that the mobile app requires that downloading to your PC does not is something called a reader authorization. There is a limit of 100 reader authorizations in 30 days. It is a rolling window. So after 31 days, you can add a few more. But anyway, so you may have this. The big part is you may have the book on your phone or 10 books, but not the authorization to read it. The reader authorization process requires access to the internet as you begin to read the book. You need to have each book that you want to read on that trip authorized while you still have internet access. So be sure you at least start to read each book that you want to take with you while you have the access. This took me months to find out, and I was like, oh, that's a big one. I wouldn't want to be on a plane and not have my books. If anyone is experiencing BARD downloading at all and having problems, Mike wants me to say that quite a few people are calling our BARD line with problems with long load times or frequent disconnects, and it often turns out they have DSL access, and it's often AT&T Uverse. They need to call their provider for help. There isn't a lot we can do except say we're sorry and sympathize. And that's not very helpful. So, okay. So that's sort of the NLS recap. Now we're going to move on to state topics. Our library's third master is the California State Library. We had big news the other day that after approximately 18 months, Governor Brown has nominated someone to replace former state librarian Stacy Aldrich. His name is Greg Lucas. We are awaiting the confirmation process, which takes place in the California Senate. I have no time frame. We are happy to say also that we are in the process of reclaiming the BTBL reading room at 900 N Street, and we'll get our Braille volumes out of the warehouse sometime in the near future. For those of you who didn't or don't know, the State Library was party to a very long, drawn-out renovation of the old historic State Library and Courts building between Capitol and N Streets, across the street from the building we're in. Everyone in that building squeezed into our building, and we shared the BTBL reading room space with staff, reference material, and patrons from two other reading rooms, while most of the books, including our Braille volumes, went to a warehouse in West Sacramento. There was a grand opening of the renovated facility in February, but we are not quite done with the whole thing. When we do have it all the way back, we want you all to come back and use it even more than you did before the renovation. We're hoping to have a browsing collection for DBs and to follow up on a lot of other ideas that have been floated. Mike's big news for BTBL, he's really excited and so am I, is that we are finally able to announce that the long-awaited BTBL User Advisory Council has 9 members and a date for its inaugural meeting on Monday, May 21st. Meeting minutes will be posted on the BTBL website for all to see. The CCB representative or liaison member from the Advisory Council is Kathleen Berman. Is she in the room? No. Okay. She is with the Capital Chapter CCB. If CCB has questions or concerns or suggestions for improving BTBL services, please contact her directly. I can give her email. I didn't want to give it without permission, but is there a directory for your members to get to each other by email? Okay, then I don't need to announce it publicly. Okay. Oh, I do? Okay. All right. It is Kathleen with a K, so it's... it's... Okay. It's Kathleen with... It's spelled K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N 3080 at sbcglobal.net. That's Kathleen with a K, 3080 at sbcglobal.net, except for the dot at net, there is no other punctuation. Mike is very excited about the council, which will meet at least once per year in person and then have quarterly meetings the other 3 times via teleconference. We are seeking applicants for the 2015 for 3-year terms, and you can find bylaws and the application form on our website, which is very simple, btbl.ca.gov. That's btbl.ca.gov. The member roster includes Kathy, as I've mentioned, Tiffany Manosh from NFBC, Thomas Mason from Blinded Veterans Association of California, Alan Smith, Marjorie Donovan, Karen Parsegian, Elena Thomason, Deborah Armstrong, and Rosalind McCoy. They represent blind, low vision, physical disability and are geographically dispersed from the East Bay to the Sacramento five-county region. We do not yet have representation for the northern coast or northern interior part of our region. I heard somebody from Eureka in the room. Maybe they'd like to sign up. We still need a youth rep or a parent of a young patron representative on the council. So if anyone knows someone who might be interested, please have them contact Mike. And his address is for email is mike.marlin, Marlin like the fish. So mike.marlin at library.ca.gov. One of the user council's charges from Mike will be to help us with outreach. For example, perhaps as ambassadors to all parts of Northern California, helping us staff events, talking to groups, other things that we think up. We can help with NLS promotional materials and coaching and that kind of thing. We just can't get enough of us out there on the road. We really need to do some marketing. We started a BTBL Facebook page a while ago. You can use regular Facebook.com if you wish to get to it. If that doesn't work for you, Mike wanted me to mention mfacebook.com, which is more usable with things like JAWS. Our website, which is btbl.ca.gov, again, has a link. I thought about putting the whole Facebook thing down, but you really have to be logged in order to get it. And so just go to our link. You can get there without even signing in. As far as big efforts beyond the day-to-day shipping out of close to 2,000 items per workday and checking another 2,000 back in, we are culling out both RCs, cassettes, and DBs, digital books, in a big way. The digital books must be returned to NLS in order for them to be reused for more new titles. This year we have to pull 26,000 copies, and even more than that next year. We are also taking down the number of copies of each title in RC format that we have. Those wind up going to another location for proper disposal, not reuse. We have a new batch of described videos about to be put into circulation. I think there are about 70. Watch for the notice on our website or just check with your reader advisor. BTBL does have a recording studio. Our mission is to record California authors or topics or fiction with California settings. We don't do vanity press books. Do people understand what vanity press is? When you pay to publish it yourself, it's a vanity press. And we don't do those. We want them to have received reviews in established publications if possible. Having Aunt Matilda say on Amazon what a great book it is isn't quite enough. We have been severely limited in what we can do with the staffing shortages we've incurred the past few years, plus the changes in technology. We have some very faithful volunteer narration teams, but we need help with a lot more of the digital production part and have tried various ways to get that help and are still trying. Mike is looking into the possible purchase of accessible recording and markup software, specifically APH Recorder and Studio Wizard. And when both of us go to the NLS meeting next month, there will be a demonstration of new Hindenburg software, which is actually supported by technical staff. The software we have now has no technical support anymore. So it's been hard. Okay, on to the next one. The vendor for the Braille and Talking Book Library's Integrated Library System, that's our database that keeps track of you, keeps track of our books, keeps track of circulation, keeps track of inventory, all of that. That includes the online catalog that is put up for you to use. And the vendor for this has drastically redesigned their product. The old system that they have no longer works well with the state library's upgraded overall computer system, so we have to go with their new design. We have no choice but to accept the changes and work with them as best we can. We've spent many hours trying to get the best design for our patrons, given the system's parameters. We've tested it every way we can think of to test it, but we are fairly certain there will be glitches when we roll it out. The new interface is very different. We intend to run the old catalog for a while, along with the new, to smooth the transition. And I don't have an exact date to announce, but it will be fairly soon. We're worried that some parts may have escaped the accessibility designer's attention, Mike is our only JAWS user/tester, so we will appreciate feedback when we put it up if you find that you are blocked out of something. I have statistics if you need to hear statistics, but I think I'll open it for questions. I don't know how much time. Behind you.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I'll try and make it quick. I was wondering if there's anything special that we have to do when downloading the foreign language books. I've only tried a few times, but it seems to be configured slightly differently. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. That's the first I've heard of it. I will have to go try one. Are you in BARD in the foreign language stuff?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, and you're doing it to a PC or to a mobile app?
To a PC.
To a PC. Okay.
Well, there were Russian books, actually.
Okay, so Russian and Maria, your last name?
Mitchell.
Okay.
No one. Oh, now there's a hand.
Hi, this is Linda. I have a question, and I'm sure you probably don't have the answer, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. When we see books on BARD that are, well, they're not on BARD. I wish they'd put books on BARD that are in process so that I didn't have to go look at the quick NLS catalog to see that they are in process. It would be great to know on BARD that that book is coming along.
So you want the notification for that it's in process?
Yeah, I mean, because now I have to look at the catalog, the whole catalog, and then see if a book's, and if they say it's in, it doesn't show up on BARD until it's done. It'd be great if it showed up sooner.
Okay. Can you hear me through this? I'm not, okay. I am not sure that that's technically feasible because of the way that BARD communicates with what the catalog we call Voyager. But I will certainly ask at a conference call, and if you'll tell me your last name, Linda, I will get back to you. That was okay. Okay, anything else?
I wondered who I could contact. I download the Braille books to read on a note taker, and I wish I could remember the title, but whenever I try to download the book, I can only get volume 2. Somehow the volume 1 doesn't download, so.
Okay. There are a couple of ways that Braille downloads operate. And I'm trying to remember. I wrote an article for the newsletter, and everybody said, oh, nobody will want to know that. So we didn't put it out. But in BARD, if you download, you get all the volumes together. If you go to the Voyager catalog, you can download each volume separately. You tried it both ways. Shoot. That was my only solution. Okay, you need to notify us so we can troubleshoot that one. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid we don't have...
There's one more.
If there's one more question, one more question.
There's one more. Last call. Thank you very much.
My name is David, and I wanted to know, I've looked at the Voyager catalog, but I'm not really sure of what that is. Can you give just a quick explanation?
It's the master. It's really complicated because it is a subset almost of the Library of Congress catalog in its design, and it has all the details. So most people have difficulty using it because it is so complicated, but it has absolutely everything in it, and it used to include all of the books that we could borrow from other entities like the Canadian Libraries and what was then called RFB&D, and there are still books in there that we can sort of get hold of from the Jewish Braille Institute and some other places, but it has the master catalog record in it, in both print and MARC format, which is library journal or library ease. But anyway, and so if you really want to get in and dig through subject headings, you can do that there and be assured that they haven't been lightly applied, that somebody knowledgeable put those subject headings on and didn't just throw up keywords. So there are nice things about it to use. But that is also the place where you can find out if something is in process, even before it has a number.
I'm just going to end this meeting, but Mary Jane, would you be able to stay a few minutes if people have questions?
Sure.
People are going to be coming in for lunch, but yeah. Where could we put? Could you come station yourself maybe kind of back near the door, and or people raise your hands if you would like to still speak with Mary Jane for a minute. Would you raise your hand now so she kind of knows how many people would like to speak with her?
Just see one.
Okay, could you maybe go gravitate to that person now and just talk with that person? Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even going to ask for a motion to adjourn. I'm just going to adjourn us.